Let us pray. Father, my God, number one, I just want this message to sink deep into all of our hearts, to show us where we are, where we need to be, and what it is that we are to be delivered from so that we can live this victorious life in you, my God. And I thank you that the power and the strength comes from you, and that the glory is in you, God, and in the cross that you carried, Jesus, that we might live this life, Lord, and live for you and not for ourselves. Because too many times, Lord, we live for our own good and not for the good and the glory of the Almighty God. But in Jesus' name, we declare that we will change today. We will be new creatures in that which we hear and that which we will attend to do. And I thank you for it, my God. Amen, amen. Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 34, and it reads, "And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in his glory of his Father with the holy angels." Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 38. Again, this is a testament as to how it is that we're supposed to live this life. I don't know about you, but I have crosses in my life that I choose not to have. But I would imagine that all of us have something in our life that we prefer not to deal with. But the issue is, it's not what we have in our life that we're dealing with, but it's how we plan on living this life for God. Because in actuality, to live for God is a cross all by itself. Some weeks ago, I spoke of the three Hebrew boys, and I spoke of Daniel, how it was that they were in a fiery furnace, and they had to deal with the lions. That was a cross to them because they could have bowed down to the golden images of Nebuchadnezzar, but they chose not to. They chose to live for God, and as a result of it, they had to either be put into the fiery furnace or they had to be thrown into the lion's pit. But nevertheless, it was a cross that they had to live by. Now, many of us in this day and time, we don't fully understand what living or carrying our own cross really means. We think that is some beautiful little image that we hang around our neck. And therefore, when we see people that put crosses around their neck, even non-Christians, we look at it as such a beautiful little emblem that we think that it's so nice, it's so beautiful. But really, the story behind the cross is much more than just carrying a beautiful image. And I'm not trying to demean anyone that carries the cross around their neck. I think it is a beautiful symbol of jewelry. And for the person that really loves God, it ought to be something that they wear to symbolize, just like we did with the communion, to symbolize, God, I remember you in the way that I walk. I remember you in the way that I live, my attitude about life. But let's look at a little history about the cross all by itself. First of all, the cross was something that was invented as a way of persecution, as a way of crucifying criminals, as a way of killing people that were not wanted in society. And so therefore, slaves and the hardened criminals were the ones that actually were hung on the cross to say, we're going to get rid of you. We're going to destroy, going to destroy you in society because you have killed, you pillaged the land, and we don't want you in society anymore. And so they invented this, as it were, as a means to kill people. It's kind of like the electric chair of this day, or the way that we put lethal injection into one's arm. It is their means of executing the person that they want to get rid of, society does. And so the idea behind the cross is that we're going to make this so that the people that see the man or the woman that hangs on the cross, we're going to make it a symbol so that nobody else that looks at that individual want to be where they are. And for the Romans, they made it real hard. They hung a person on the cross and they let him hang there for 3 days. And so therefore, when they nail your hands into the rails or they nail your feet into the beam that's supporting the weight of that individual, it was designed to say that you're going to deal with this execution, but it ain't going to be quick and over like the electric chair does today. But you're going to have to work with this pain and the agony for 3 days, 3 long days, because I would imagine it's hard to sleep when you're hanging on the cross. It's hard for you to think about other things when you're hanging on the cross because you're thinking about the pain that's in your hand. And for 3 days, you're going to have to live with it. But when it came to the Jews, see, when they hung Jesus on the cross, the Jews had this law in their land that God gave them. And God said that you don't let a man hang on a tree overnight, even though you're going to execute him. Do not let him hang on the tree overnight. Because cursed is the man, Galatians 3:13, that hangs on the cross. And in essence, what he was saying is that when you allow a man to hang on the cross, you are, in a sense, kind of cursing the land. And so therefore, Israel, if you don't want to curse on the land, don't let a man hang on the tree overnight. But the Romans, see, they don't believe in God, so it was no problem for them to let a man to hang on the cross for 3 days, because within a 3-day time, not only will he have died from the pain and the suffering, but he will have died perhaps from the suffering of not having water to drink, dehydration. And not only that, but there were times in which birds, the buzzards, came and they knew that somebody was dying. And so they began to pluck the eyes out of the criminal that was hanging on the cross. They began to eat the flesh of the man that was hanging on the cross, because in actuality, he was dead in a sense to them. And so when we look at the cross, we see that it is a horrible way to die. And the Jews, of course, they ended this. Now, one of the ways that they did not allow a man to die, to hang on a cross overnight, and we see that with Jesus, is that there were two thieves that hung beside him. And these two thieves, because they were hanging on the cross and they were not allowed, according to Jewish custom, to hang on overnight, they broke their legs. And when you break the legs of a man that's hanging on the cross, you got the blood that's circulating going from the heart throughout the body. But when it goes down to the legs, it cannot return. And in essence, what it does, it causes a fluid to build up around his heart. It causes fluid to build up in the body because the blood is not circulating throughout his body. And thereby, the man begins to suffocate. He begins to asphyxiate in his own blood, in his own fluid that surrounds his heart and his lungs. And that's why the thieves, when they broke their legs, they were in essence saying, we got to end this execution quickly. These guys are not allowed to hang on the cross overnight. But when it came to Jesus to break his legs, prophecy had already said that there should not be a bone broken. And it should not happen anything. Nothing shall happen to him to disfigure his body except for the beating, which I incidentally forgot. For a lot of these criminals, they beat them before they hung on the cross. And so therefore, many of them died while they were hanging on the cross from the beating that they received. And we know that Jesus himself was beaten and he was weak and he was suffering and he was bleeding. But nevertheless, he didn't die from that. He died from the sins of the world. He became the sacrifice that God accepted. And he died, really, as many people have said, from a broken heart. God, I'm dying for these people, but yet they aren't going to follow me anyway, most of them. But as you've probably heard before, there, if it had been only one person that would have accepted Christ as his Savior, Jesus would have died for that one individual, even though there are 7 other billion in this world that would have rejected him. It goes to show the love of God and how it is that the cross is such an instrument that God used to bring people to himself. And so they were beaten. And then the other thing is that they had to carry their own cross after they were beaten. And we see this in the story of Jesus Christ. He was beaten so bad, he had blood pouring down. And some people say that you wouldn't have known who he was because he was disfigured. They pulled out his beards. They beat him on his back with a whip that had nails and bone and glass in the tips of it. But nevertheless, he carried his own cross. Nevertheless, although I'm weak, I'm going to carry this cross for the people that I have come to die for. And then lastly, God, I'm willing to even be nailed to it. But then before Jesus experienced that particular thing, this is what he said. He said, if there's a man or woman that will come or follow me, he has to be willing to do three things. And the first thing is, you got to be, and I have to be willing to deny myself. And to deny myself means that, God, I'm going to not do the things that I want to do. I'm going to put you first in my life so that the things that I would do, God, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to sacrifice myself as a living sacrifice so that the pleasures and all the goodness of life, God, that will come before you, I'm going to put it behind and say, God, I choose to follow you first. And so, see, the first thing one has to be willing to do is to deny himself. And that's a hard thing to do in this world because, see, to be unselfish in a selfish world is like going against the grain of what everybody else wants to do. See, it's easy for me to say, yeah, let's do everything that everybody else does. It's easy for me to say I'm going to cheat on my taxes because everybody else do it. It's easy for me to say that I'm going to steal because everybody else steals. But no, when I make up my mind that God, I'm going to carry the cross that Jesus says that I will carry because I need to follow him, then for me to cheat would be a hard thing for me to do. It's easy in one sense, but God, because I'm carrying your cross, I ain't going to do it. For me, my God, to do the dishonest thing, I'm not going to do it because it ain't carrying the cross if I was to do it that way. Not only do I have to be willing to deny myself, but he said to pick up. And I thought that was strange when Jesus said that he has to be willing to pick up his cross. You see, because I understand this, out of all the crosses that are out there, there is one that belongs to me, and there is one that belongs to you. And my cross ain't your cross. Your cross isn't mine. Your cross doesn't belong to anybody else. And here it is, the cross is lying down on the ground, and I have to pick it up. Now, what is it about picking up the cross? It means that I have to be willing to do it. I have to be willing to pick up that which is heavy, that which I don't want to pick up, that which is ugly, and that which is going to cause me a lot of pain, but yet, God, I'm willing to pick it up because it belongs to me if I'm going to follow Jesus. Isn't it amazing that God asks us to do things that we don't want to do, and really it's hard for us to do it, but I realize this much, that in God, the hard things that he asks us to do are the things that he ain't really asking us to do. He's saying that I want to do it through you. I'm going to give you the power and the might to accomplish it, but you be willing to do it. And that's all really God is saying to do. That's why Jesus said that if any man will come after me, if he's going to follow me, if he's going to be my disciple, you disciples, deny yourself. Yeah. And then be willing to pick up your cross. And then the other thing about it is picking up the cross. See, because the cross was heavy. It wasn't just a little plank that they had for him to carry down the street, Jesus' case. But it was a cross beam, not the full cross, but the cross beam that he had to carry. And that cross beam was heavy. So if the cross beam, which had to support the weight of a 200-pound man, if it was designed to support the weight of a man that weighed that much, you know it couldn't have been flimsy. It had to have been heavy. It had to have been something that made perhaps weighed as much as 80, maybe 100 pounds, and he having to carry it to a place that he didn't want to go because he knew that he was going to be, thirdly, nailed to that instrument that he's carrying. And God, I don't want to do it. I don't want to even think about doing it. But yet, Jesus, you asking me to do something that's heavy. You're asking me to do something that I don't want to do. You're asking me to do something that is painful because everybody else in the world, God, is living good. They're living high and they're doing all the wonderful things that they want to do. But God, you asking me to do something that I don't want to do and it's painful to me. But that's just the way God is. See, Paul put it this way, we're in this world, but we're not of this world, which means that if everybody's going this way, I'm supposed to go this way. The trouts and the fish in the stream that knows that the stream is running this way, they aren't asked to go with the stream. They're asked to go back. Man, if you're planning on preserving your next generation, you better go upstream, and upstream is hard to do. And the other thing that Jesus asked is not only to pick up your cross, but he said to walk with it, which is another problem because, God, I'm weak. And the painful things of this world has taken a lot of energy out of me. Not only that, but God, people have hurt me and they've beaten me and they've done all kinds of things to me. And you're asking me to deny myself and you're asking me to pick up a heavy cross and you're asking me, God, to walk with it. God, I have enough strength basically just to carry myself. And you're asking me to carry a big cross beam that weighs 80 pounds. God, it just doesn't seem fair. And the last thing, this is what God is asking out of all of this. He's saying, not only do I want you to deny yourself, but pick up your cross and then walk with it, but I want you to do it in joy. Because see, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so therefore, when he asks you or he asks me to do something hard to do, I'm supposed to smile about it. I ain't supposed to be complaining about it because that's one of the things that God detests. And I say this again, God hates a person that murmurs. He hates a person that complains, not the person itself, but he hates murmuring and complaining. We complain about what we can't do instead of saying, God, by your strength and your power, this is what I believe that I can do. The children of Israel, he detested it because they murmured and they complained. God, we don't have food to eat. And God sends the manna. God, we're tired of manna. Well, I'm going to send you quail and I'm going to send you so much that you're going to get sick and tired of it and you're going to even vomit it out of your mouth because you're complaining about the manna that I give you. Let's break it down a little bit about today. I don't know what it is in your heart or your mind that you don't like about your life. I don't know what it is in your heart and your mind that perhaps God is asking you or commanding you to do and you complaining about it. I know that some of you are doing it because I do it sometimes. God, I don't like some of the members of Enjoy Ministries because some of them come up against me, as it were. And I'm not saying this as a fact. I'm just saying we can have people like that in the midst of us. And as the pastor, I can complain because I have a member that I just don't like and I don't get along with. Or I can have a member that just get on my nerve or whatever the case may be. God, I can have somebody that just ain't doing what they ought to do. And I'm complaining about it. God said, don't complain. It's a cross, man, that you just got to bear. And you have to be willing to do it with joy. You have to love whomever it needs to be loved. You have to show forth the glory of God in your attitude, in your walk. In all that I do, I have to be willing to say, God is my medicine and it's for me. There's a song that says, what God has for me, it is for me. It ain't for you. It's just for me alone. And it tastes like quinine. If you don't know what quinine tastes like, get you some 666 medicine and taste that stuff. And if you can get it down, you're a good man, a better man than I am, let me say, because it's the nastiest stuff in the world. It makes castor oil taste like ice cream. So we're to do it with joy. But what does it mean for us to really carry our cross? When I think about what Jesus did on the cross, and how it was, he said that you got to be willing to follow me. There were some things that he did on the cross that really means so much more to me than just reading the scripture itself. Because see, what he did on the cross, he was willing to sacrifice his life for a person that didn't like him. And maybe in some cases, some of his disciples got on his nerve. Maybe in some cases, there were people that he didn't really like. When I said like, he loved everybody. But you know how it is with personalities and so forth? You like this individual because of the way that they are, but then this individual because of the way that they are, you don't like them too well, but you love them all. And so I'm sure that Jesus had to deal with all of that. And it meant something very significant to him in the way that he carried his cross. And the way that you and I carry our cross, what does it mean to you to carry a cross? Well, let me say this. First of all, it comes down to this. When God, I can carry my cross, it means that when I got something, I'm willing to share it with someone else. When I have something that somebody else need, God, I ain't got enough for myself, but I'm willing to at least share with somebody that don't have anything. is like the Shunammite woman that when she was asked to give her bread and her oil, her meal and her oil to somebody, and she didn't have enough to eat. She said, I'm going to eat this, and then I'm going to die, and you want me to give it to you, man? Well, it's a cross, my dear woman, that you have to carry. And if you plan on living, if you plan on showing the attitude and the glory of God, you have to be willing to share it with someone else. It's when everybody else, as I mentioned earlier, is cheating and you have the opportunity to do it and know that you can get away with it. You can do whatever it is that you want to do and you know ain't nobody else going to ever find out about it. It's a cross that you carry because even though somebody else might not find out, God, I'm going to live for you because you said for me to pick up my cross, my own cross, and carry it. It's doing right when everybody else is doing wrong. It's when you're in school, young folk, and everybody else is cheating. Everybody else is out partying. Everybody else is out doing things that they know that they are not ought not to be doing. And you make up your mind that you ain't going to do it because you are walking in the glory of God. You are carrying the cross of Jesus Christ. Because when it comes down to it, God sees everything that we do. He sees everything that we do before we do it. He sees everything that we do before we even think it. He knows that it's there. But we have to be willing to walk with that cross anyway. We have to be willing to die to this world. That's what it means to carry the cross of Christ. And really, that's the title. I don't know if I mentioned the title, but the title is What It Means to Carry Your Cross. And it is your cross. And so, therefore, I have to be willing to die to this world and to live in all of the areas of life that God has allowed me to live in. You see, because some people carry their cross in one area of their life, but they don't carry the cross in another area of their life. And am I trying to point out any particular sin? No. Let me say this about God and about your relationship with him, if you have a relationship with God. It does not take any other man, other woman, any prophet or prophetess to tell you what's right and what's wrong necessarily. If you have any relationship with God, you know anything that you do, whether it is right or whether it is wrong. If you mistreat somebody with the air of I'm treating that person right, in your heart, you know that is wrong. In your heart, you know that is not the thing to do. And it doesn't take me, it doesn't take somebody else to tell you that it is wrong because you and God have that communication within yourself. That's why he gave us a conscience to show us that, Stephen, you're messing it up. You need to get it together in this area. It doesn't take my wife to tell me. It doesn't take Sister Tammy, Brother Hosey. It doesn't really take anybody else. Now, sometimes it may be a time in which someone that may read from the Bible or tell you what's right or wrong because it's a learning process, especially for children, to let them know that you don't do that, son. You don't do that, daughter. And in some cases, people have to be elevated or revelation, so to speak, to them to understand that that's not the right way you do things. But when it comes down to me and God, I know what it is in my life that I ought not to be doing. And if I ain't doing it, it means that I've taken the cross and I laid it down. And I ain't walking with it because either it's too heavy for me, or I think it's too heavy for me, or either I just don't feel like walking with it today, God, because it don't really mean that much to me. And then Jesus said this, you cannot be ashamed of this gospel, because he went farther to say this. He said that if you're going to save your life, you actually are going to lose it. And whosoever is willing to lose or die to the cross, in essence, he's going to save. Now, we have to understand this. He's speaking in a sense of natural things to spiritual things. Because if you're willing to lay this natural body down, you will receive a spiritual body that cannot die. But if you're not willing to allow this natural body to die, you're going to receive a body that will end up in hell. Not only will this body die, but you will end up with a body in hell that will be in death forever. And so we have to be willing to lose this life for the sake of gaining eternal life for God's purpose and his will. It is the cross that I have to be willing to carry. And again, it ain't ever easy. Man, living in this world, it ain't the kind of world that I'd like to be in. It ain't the kind of victory that I'd like to have. But yet, nevertheless, it's the victory that God requires. And he requires it every day. Because in Luke chapter 9, Jesus said this, that if any man will come after me, he has to be willing to lay his life down daily. And so it's not a vacation that you ever take on this deal that we're working with concerning the cross and concerning Jesus Christ. And then to go farther, he said this in verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Let me say this about the world. The world has a lot to offer, but the world ain't offering you nothing that's going to glorify God. Let me say it again. The world has a lot to offer, but if you think it's anything that's going to help you to glorify God in it, it ain't there. Because see, many people have many things, but unless they're using it to the glory of God, and unless they are using it as a means to say, God, this is my cross that I'm going to lay down for you, whether it be money or power, whether it be riches or whether it be treasures, if it ain't used to glorify God, it is a cross that they ain't willing to pick up unless they're going to glorify God in it. And so therefore, you have to ask yourself, and I'm going to ask you this question. What is it that you're willing to exchange in this world, exchange your soul for in this world? Are you willing, can anybody pay you enough money to deny Jesus Christ? Can anybody give you enough goods in this world that you're willing to say, I believe in Jesus, but Jesus, here's something a little bit more important to me today. After all, I don't have food, I don't have clothes. And I will sell my soul to the devil. In essence, that's what people do when they do that. You may not really think about it that way, but in essence, when we say, God, I'm going to lay this cross down that you've told me to pick up, and I've been carrying it for a while, but God, I see something better that's coming along. They are selling their soul to the devil. And here's the way that the devil works. The devil plays for keep. And if he can ever get his hand on your soul, it's hard getting it back to God. It is very hard getting it back to God. It ain't impossible, but it's pretty near possible, as Jethro would say. What will you give in exchange for your soul? Now, I know that's a statement that I can throw out across the air, but again, it's between you and God. Because there are a lot of people that, you know, for a few dollars, they're willing to say, God, I'll serve you. For a little good time, they're saying, God, I ain't going to serve you. I prefer to have my good time today. I ain't willing to lay down my cross because, God, I like the way that this world treats me, and I like the lifestyle that this world has to offer. But I'm saying this. Your cross is not only is your cross dead, but you will hang on it in a dead condition. And you won't live the victorious life unless you're willing to die to yourself that God has for you. You see, I say it this way. There's no profit to have everything in this world without God. I prefer to have God and nothing than to have everything and no God. And any man with the right mind, any man with a mind at all will say that. And you know, it's easy to say again, but the thing about it is, Are we willing to live it out? Because talk is cheap, but walking the walk is what counts. And so as you analyze your life, as you analyze what you do in this world, have you laid down your cross? Have you laid down the cross that you're carrying to say that I'm going to just do the right thing to people? I'm going to do the right thing to make my relationship right, not only with the person, but with God, because Jesus said that if you ain't living your life with man right, you ain't living it right with God. How is it that we can serve God whom we say that we love and we hate our fellow man whom we hate and we show it in despicable ways day in and day out? How is it that I can say that I love Tammy and when I mistreat Tammy, or I can say that I love God and I'm treating Tammy like a dog? How is it that when I walk by Erica as an example and I see her in need and she's in a destitute situation and I say, oh, yes, I love God, but I don't do what I can do for Erica? How is it that a man from India can come here and say that we have people that's being killed, and we have churches that's being burned, and we have houses and lives that are being destroyed, and I'm reaching out to churches in America, I'm reaching out to you in joy to help us in some kind of way that you can, and we have a little bit, and we're not willing to share just a little that we have to help them in their dire straits situation. We don't really love God. And we really ain't willing to deny ourselves and pick up our cross and walk with it, no matter how heavy it is, no matter how bloody it is, no matter what's attached to it. We can't really say we love God. I can't really say that I love my wife if I just treat her any kind of way, as some men do. They treat them despicable ways. And they treat their children in ways that ought not to be treated. How is it that I can say that I love God and we have some people in the church, priests, that molest little children and mess up their lives, warp their lives in such that they, when they become older men and older women, they still fighting that feeling that they were dealing with when they were like 5, 6, 7, 8 years of age. We ain't laid down the cross. And God's going to make sure that the cross is that which will lay on us. Your soul is worth more to God than anything else he's ever made. And that may seem a little strange for you to think about when you think about all of the stars and the galaxies, millions of galaxies in this universe, and all the stars and all the beautiful things that God has made. And there is one thing that's worth more to him than anything else in the whole universe. That is your life and my life, your soul and my soul, your spirit and my spirit. Because if it wasn't, he would not have died for it. What else in this universe did Jesus, God of the ages, die for? I'll put it this way. I ain't going to die for nothing that I don't think is worth something to me or for me. I'll die for you, Tammy. I'll die for you, DeLon. I'll die for you, Hosey. I'll die for you, Mr. Ms. Horsley, Elder Mike, Virginia, Bobby. I'll die for anybody in this place because you're worth something to me. I can't really die for myself, but I can crucify my flesh in the sense that, as Galatians 2:20 says, I live, yet not I, but the Christ that lives in me. And I am crucified day in and day out. But the reason that I'll die for any of you guys, Brother Ken and Minister Maxie, is because I love you all. Now, don't be quick to ask me to do it, but I'll do it. And I'm of the same impression that just like I think, God thinks the same way. He will die for that which is important and worth something to him. Will he die for an angel? Nope. Take him out. Don't think nothing of it. Will he die for this earth? No, he will not die for this earth. He will not die for a planet. He will not die for a star. He will not die for the immaterial things like this wood, these chairs, and the carpet on this floor, the tile. He won't die for any of that, but he will die for you because you are the most important thing that he has ever created or made. And so your soul is worth more to God than anything else. I want to say this lastly in closing. Jesus said this. Number one, it don't mean nothing to profit for all the things of this world and lose your own soul. And therefore, it ain't worth to give an exchangement of your soul. But he said in verse 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in glory of his Father and with the holy angels. Basically, Jesus is saying this, follow me. And you have to be willing to follow me up close. When the disciples got in dire straits, when they came to get Jesus out of the Garden of Gethsemane, there were the disciples that got scared. And these guys, for their own lives, they weren't willing to die for Jesus at that time. Like Peter especially said, Jesus, I'll die for you, man. It don't matter what. I will die for you. And he, I'm sure, was leading the pack when it came to running. But Peter didn't give up. He said, you know, I love this man and I want to do what I can for him, but I'm going to follow him afar from afar. In other words, I'll follow him and I'll keep him in my eyes, but I ain't going to let them see me because they'll kill me too. That is to say this, You follow Jesus, and don't follow him afar off. You be willing to deny yourself of anything that you know that will hinder you from carrying your cross. Whether it be attitudes, whether it be monies or powers, whether it be even our own children, as Jesus said, that you have to be willing to forsake your family for my sake. And it's just one of the things he asked, or one of the things he commanded, so to speak. And so in you following Jesus, what does carrying your cross mean to you? Does it mean anything whatsoever? Or is this a cheap religion that we live? And I have to ask myself that each and every day. I don't have a cheap religion. I might be cheap, but my religion ain't cheap. This religion that I live, this relationship, means everything to me. I'm banking on it for eternity. And therefore, I ain't giving it up. And I got some crosses that I don't want to carry, but I'm going to carry them to the best of my ability anyway. Even if I don't make it to Golgotha, I'm going to carry my cross as far as I can. And some of us, that means you might have to carry it for one day. For others, it's like carrying it for 20, 30, 50 years. I don't know how long you all been saved, Mr. and Ms. Horsley, but the thing about it is this, perhaps being the oldest one in this place, if you've been saved for any length of time, you may have been saved longer than I've been living. I don't know. But my point is, she's been carrying her cross for that length of time. Why is it that way? I don't know why it's that way. All I know is this. God puts in the hands of man, each one of us, a certain point of time to live and a certain point of time to die. But we have to be willing to follow him for that as long as it take. And as long as it take, ain't no time when you consider it compared to eternity. Father, in Jesus' name. What does the cross, what does it mean to carry our own cross? It means, God, that we are going to deny ourselves of many things in this life. We're going to deny ourselves of things that we want to do and pick up the heavy burden of the cross that will be weighted down and weighted down with our desires, weighted down with the things that we really want to do. But God, nevertheless, we're going to carry it anyway. And we're going to forsake the things of this world and apply it to you, my God. It's in Jesus' name that you teach us to be that way. You teach us in what we do day to day how we are to be toward you. And we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the burden of the cross, for it's that which make us strong. It is that which God gives us eternal life. In Jesus' name, we praise you and honor you and say amen. Amen, amen. If you would please stand.